I really enjoyed that song service. I really enjoyed you young men singing. This has just been a really good time for me. I've just really enjoyed it, and it's been a blessing. I really enjoyed our preaching downtown. I really enjoy having this group of young men singing behind me or on the side of me because it makes me feel like I'm in the majority, you know. It really feels good to be out there on the street preaching and feel like you're in the majority. That really does feel good. I guess all you street preachers know what I'm talking about. It does feel good. Anyway, look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. And before we read it, let's just go ahead and thank the Lord. Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Lord, you're holy. You're righteous. You're worthy. You've been such a good God to us. You've just taken care of us and been so faithful. We want to worship you this evening, Lord. We want to just thank you and praise you and let everyone know just how good you've been, just how wonderful you are and how high and lifted up you are and how unworthy we are, Lord. We don't want to absorb any of your glory. We know that you're the only one worthy. And now, Lord, we ask you to bless us tonight. Bless us. Make us right, Lord. I ask you in Jesus' name. Look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Which brings me to ask the question, are you spiritual? And you ought to ask yourself that question. You see, because he says here, "Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness." Ye which are spiritual, go help somebody out that's in a bad way. In other words, God is saying, in the church, there's some people who are spiritual, and in the church, there are some people who are not spiritual. I've had people actually tell me that everybody that gets saved is spiritual by definition. But, you know, if you read your Bible, you'll find out the Bible talks about Christians who are carnal. Carnal. And you can tell they're carnal by all the divisions and all the fights they're having. That's what the Bible says. And how many other ways can we say, well, that's just carnality, that's just fleshly, that's just living in this world and in the flesh? Ye which are spiritual, he says, you go restore such an one. Basically, what he's saying is, I've had to come to the point that I need some help, but it has to be somebody spiritual or you can't help. I need somebody spiritual to help us out, to take care of some problems, but if you're not spiritual, then that you can't help. You do realize that not just everybody in the church ought to be rebuking sin, ought to be fixing other people's problems. Not just anybody ought to be taking, you know, in the open meeting, I don't know how often y'all have open meetings, but when you have open meetings almost every week or constantly, you find out you have all kinds of little problems that can come up, you know. You get people wanting to rebuke sin. I've had people stand up in the meeting and just say, "I think what y'all are doing is wrong," and talk about somebody else. And, wait a minute, slow down. Slow down. You know, the open meeting is not for just anybody to stand up and rebuke sin. An open meeting, of course, is to praise the Lord and to give something that you've got. But not just everybody can go take care of the problems in the church. That's why God says, "Ye which are spiritual, do it." We need some spiritual people taking care of the problems in the church. Well, it goes to reason that if there are some spiritual people in the church and some people who are not spiritual in the church, it goes to reason that some churches have more spiritual people than other churches. Some churches then can be considered spiritual churches, and other churches can be considered carnal churches, depending on how many spiritual people they have in the church and how many carnal people they have in the church. Now, am I making sense? Some people are spiritual. Are you spiritual? Are you spiritual? So, well, what does that mean? How do we define spiritual? How would I know whether I'm spiritual or not? Sometimes I feel spiritual and sometimes I don't. Well, that's true, but let's try to look at this squarely because we want to know what God is saying here. Amen. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. In the first place, I want you to know that a spiritual person is not the person that doesn't get taken in faults. Because here he says, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. But he says, consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. A spiritual person is not somebody above temptation. A spiritual person is not somebody who is not weak, who could not also fall. Many a pastor has fallen. Many a pastor has hit the dust and hurt the gospel. I'm telling you, we were in Mexico. We were in León, one of our hardest cities. We were preaching the gospel out on the street every day. We had some antagonists fighting us all the way. Every time we'd preach, I'm telling you, we were getting jabbed and hit and thrown. We got dumped water on us. We got every kind of difficulty causing us and mocking us and causing all kinds of trouble. But at the same time, we were winning souls and seeing people getting saved. But at this same time was when that, people said I look like Jimmy Swaggart today. Well, I repent. I'm sorry. I didn't know I looked like Jimmy Swaggart. I repent and it won't happen again. That was when Jimmy Swaggart fell. And he was on television, even in Mexico. And when he fell, I had nothing to do with Jimmy Swaggart. But you cannot believe the grief we got right there in the park because Jimmy Swaggart fell. You talk about knocking the gospel on its tail end for a good while right there in León, Guanajuato. Boy, we saw a revival kind of dry up for a while. Well, that ain't right. You know, you people who are spiritual, don't think that you're spiritual so you can't be overtaken in a fault. You be careful. You see, because sin is dangerous and you can be overtaken in a fault. You stay away from the stuff that's dangerous. Because it's not just those weak brethren that can fall. The strong brethren can fall. If I remember right, David fell, right? Didn't David fall? And my, how he fell. He fell a long way. If I remember right, Solomon fell. My goodness, if we start listing off all the great men that fell, you got to be careful. Don't get so spiritual that you don't think you have to take precautions. Don't get so spiritual that you feel like you can relax a little bit. You can't. Because you can fall just like every other spiritual man has had those same temptations, and they can fall. So, being spiritual does not mean that you are not under temptation or not in danger. No, you're in danger. Every spiritual person in this room is in danger. All right, so you have to do these things in the spirit of meekness. But you have to consider then to know whether you're spiritual or not. You know, the Bible uses over there, I guess we ought to go read it because I'll probably quote it wrong. I'm not used to quoting in English, so I'll probably come out in Spanish. Look over there in, I believe it's Romans. Look at chapter 8 and look at verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The carnal mind is in enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. All right, we understand these in a very clear way. Before salvation, you're in your flesh, you're not spiritual at all, and you cannot please God in your flesh. In order for you to be saved and to get right with God, you have to have the Holy Spirit of God enter into your heart. And until that has happened, you cannot please God. I don't care how good you are or how faithful you are in your religion, you cannot please God until the Holy Spirit comes into your life. This has to happen. It's called the new birth. There's hardly any doctrine more clearly spoken of in the Bible than this one. So you have to understand this. But now here it says, it gives a definition, the best definition I can come up with about who's spiritual and who's not. It says, those who mind the things of the Spirit. Those who mind the things of the Spirit are the spiritual ones. So I've got to ask you the question, a pretty simple question. What things do you mind? That is, what do you think about? What do you talk about? What's your pastime? What's your hobbies? What are your life ambitions? What are your desires? I don't really know. I don't really know that anybody can say, I know that I'm spiritual enough. But I think we can pretty much determine in our own minds whether we're spiritual or not. I think some of you know right now you're not spiritual. You can already make that decision. And some of you might be able to say, you know, I am spiritual. My ambitions are spiritual. My desires are spiritual. My thoughts, my waking thoughts are spiritual. I had a coworker. I worked with him for about 5 years in Mexico. I loved the man. He taught me a whole lot of things. His name was Dale West. One time we were out in the jungles of the Huasteca, and we had done some ministry out in, you know, some town 6 hours from the pavement. It was an exciting time. We were preaching out in these jungle areas, little towns just far as they can be from civilization. And we were enjoying ourselves. We were coming back one of those days. We were coming back, and we saw a river, and we decided to get cooled off. This is hot country. And he just jumped. I said, man, he's probably my age now. This has been like 25 or 30 years ago that this happened. So I guess more or less he was my age at that time. Well, he just jumped in the river. And he jumped in the river and landed somehow. I don't even know what he hit, but he cut his hand open from one side all the way to the other, sliced his tendons. He couldn't even use his hand. And we're out in the middle of nowhere. Well, so, man, I packed him up best I could. I got him to the nearest little town somewhere, and they had a clinic, and they had to go wake up the doctor, and they got the doctor in there, and he gave him some anesthesia, but the anesthesia wasn't good enough to put him all the way out. And so what we had was him. This hack doctor didn't do a good job, but his hack doctor was trying to sew him up and get him all fixed up. But the whole time, we're talking about a couple hours of the operation. I'm in the operation room. And this man, my coworker, was sort of hallucinating or dreaming or talking in his sleep. Now, what would you say if you were talking in your sleep? This man for 2 hours did nothing but praise Jesus Christ. Laying on that operating table, not even conscious, didn't remember a thing. All he said was, thank you, Lord Jesus, your wonderful Lord Jesus, all 2 hours of that operation. What would you say if that happened to you? What would come out of your mouth? What would come out of your lips? Would it be cursing? Would it be the latest Bruce Springsteen song? If that's what they call them, songs? What would come out of your lips? We knew a fella, friend of a friend, actually the brother of a good friend of our families, got sick in his head somehow, saved man, got sick in his head somehow, came to church one day and went into one of his little hallucinations, stood up in the meeting and started cussing up a storm. I mean, horrible language, filthy thoughts. We had to kind of just hustle him out. You know, something's got to scare you. Something's got to make you think. Are you spiritual? What do you think about? Doesn't the Bible say whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You say, well, how can I think on these things? I mean, somebody says, don't think of a pink elephant and you'll think about it. And immediately something comes into your head. How do you control what you think? My wife one time was sick in bed, and she asked me to make the coffee. So I went downstairs and I made the coffee. It didn't come out right. I went back upstairs and I said, honey, I'm sorry, but coffee didn't come out right. Well, she got up, went downstairs in an excellent mood, went all the way over there to coffee maker and saw that I had put the coffee grounds where the water was supposed to go. She could not believe that somebody did not know how to make the coffee. Do you know why it came out wrong? Because I put it in wrong. You know why what comes out of your mouth and what comes out of your mind is wrong? Because it's what you put into your mind. It's what goes in that causes what goes out. You see, it's just not an accident. If what comes out of you in the spur of the moment or under the influence of some anesthesia, if what comes out of you is something filthy and rotten and wicked, it's because of what you're putting in. It's what you're absorbing all the time. You say, well, we can't help it. I mean, it's on television. Well, you can help it. I mean, those things do have an off button. There is a dumpster out in the front yard, isn't there? Listen, I'm not trying to be holier than thou. I'm just saying you ought to be able to judge whether or not you're spiritual. Because the Bible tells you you got to judge. He tells you, ye which are spiritual, meaning you got to know. You got to know whether you're spiritual or not. Are you? Are you spiritual? Are your conversations spiritual? Or do you immediately go right to the sports page? Now, I'm not against sports. Believe me, I'm not a fanatic about all kinds of holiness things. I'm just a very simple person. I like, you know, the same things you like. I like football. I like basketball. I like... But what I'm saying is there has to be a way for you to judge whether or not you're too much absorbed into this world so that you can say, I'm not spiritual enough. Or you can say, I am spiritual. I'm one of the spiritual ones. God is saying, I need your help. Because that's who God's calling. He's saying, ye which are spiritual, I need your help. Ye which are spiritual. Not you people who aren't spiritual. Judge yourselves. Judge yourselves. Are you spiritual? Because if you're not spiritual, listen, if you're not spiritual, God is not addressing you. Now, you know, that ought to be just enough to scare you. You know, it's possible that God is not addressing you. I was invited to preach at a Southern Baptist church once up in Killeen, Texas. And I preached, and then I was with my brother. He was going to this church, and he was invited over. I was staying with him, so he was invited over to a deacon's house and to eat. So we went over to the deacon's house, and we got ready to eat lunch or dinner, and they had four places set at the table. The deacon and the deacon's wife and my brother and his wife, and I was there without anybody. I was there alone. Then they had all the kids lined up on the counter. And so the deacon looked at me and said, you'll be up there on the counter with the kids. That's fine with me. I'm really not a people person, you know. I didn't really need to sit at the table. That's fine. So I climbed up on the counter and I ate with the kids. It was good fellowship. A little while later, the deacon says, well, you guys want to play some dominoes? Yeah, we want to play some dominoes. Not you, Bill. Seriously. I was the invited guest speaker. And... No, not you. We have a foursome here. We know what we're doing. We have our way of playing. We're going to catch up on some games. Okay. So I went in the front room, and they had some magazines or whatever, and I just sat down and started reading. A little while later, they brought out some ice cream or something for the kids, and they gave me mine, and I was in there. That wasn't part of the joke, but I'll take it. Well, I went in there and had my ice cream, what have you. And the deacon said, oh, Ed, I needed to tell you. Ed's my brother. Oh, Eddie, I needed to tell you. I need to show you something. Come on back here. I want to show you something. And I happened to be right there by the garage, and he was having to go through the garage. And so I started to step out in the garage to go with him. He said, no, not you. Just Eddie. I said, okay. I just went back in the front room and read my magazine until it was time to go. And Eddie and Donna, my brother and sister-in-law, got in the car, and I got in the back seat with the kids. Donna looks around and says, Billy, you were awful quiet. He didn't even notice. Well, you know, the truth is, I'm not terribly hurt over this. I didn't know this guy from Adam, and I didn't care whether he wanted me around or liked me or whether he was nice to me. I didn't care. I still don't care. But I got to say, it doesn't feel good when somebody says, not you. Somebody says, oh, hey, I wanted to show you something. No, not you. It's almost like when you see somebody at the airport or something saying, hey, 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 and you go, hi, hi, and somebody behind you walks up there and hugs them, you know. You feel really off, you know. That's not, boy, egg on your face. You have to pretend, oh, it's somebody behind you, sorry, get out of the way, you know. You go over there and hug a pole or something, you know. I'm telling you. Well, that's God. God says, ye which are spiritual, how many of you is he saying no? No, no, not you. Not you. Not you. I need some spiritual people. Make you almost afraid to volunteer, doesn't it? He'd have to say, no, sit back down, not you. That's a little bit scary to me. You see, because if you're not spiritual, you're not being addressed. I wonder just how much of the Bible is written for not spiritual people. I'm trying to think of something. Just those parts that say repent. How much of the Bible was written for all of you not spiritual people? All of you, I can think of a few over there in the Church of Laodicea maybe. Part of that stuff that says, you know, I'll spew you out of my mouth. You're not being addressed. You know what that also means? That you're useless. If you're not spiritual, you're useless. He can't use you because you're not spiritual. You know something? I don't want to be useless. Amen. If there's one thing I don't want to be, is useless. Absolutely vain. Useless. No account. But if you're not spiritual, you're not useless. You're useless. You're not useful at all. God is actually looking past you, saying, you just keep your seat. I'm not calling on you. I don't need you because you're not spiritual. You don't think spiritual thoughts. You don't have spiritual ambitions. You don't even have spiritual friends. You don't have spiritual decisions. You're no use to me. Wow. But you know, that also means if you are spiritual, you're useful. Wow. Talk about a big doctrine. Do you realize you're useful to God if you're spiritual? He says, ye which are spiritual, I got something for you to do. Amen. Well, thank you, Lord. Amen. I want something to do. Amen. I don't want to just be sitting around doing nothing. Amen. I want to be spiritual. I want to be useful. Well, if you're not spiritual then, you're useless. You're not being addressed. And you're a waste of time. Yeah, you're a waste of God's time. Because he spent a lot of time on you. But if you're useless, then you're a waste of his time. You're not spiritual. You're not thinking like he thinks. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not filled with his mind. You're not filled with his thoughts. You're not understanding his ways. You're not on the same page as he is. When he feels something, you don't feel it. When he loves something, you don't love it. When he hates something, you love it. You see, because you're not spiritual. You're not thinking like God thinks. And that's what God is looking for. Somebody who thinks like he thinks. You're a waste of God's time. you're a waste of God's provision. Because He provided for all of us. He says He sends the rain to the just and the unjust. He actually sends blessing to the spiritual and to the unspiritual. The difference is you're a waste of His provision. You're wasting them. And I've seen God do this year after year after year in so many different churches, in so many different families. God blesses and blesses and blesses almost without arbitrarily, almost arbitrarily, just sends out blessings. And some people just know how to waste it. They just know how to take everything that God has given them and just throw it away. Waste it on nothing. And others get sometimes a whole lot less and just know how to use it. And they actually are useful because of it. And the whole difference is whether they're spiritual or not. You're a waste of God's time and His provision. And if you're a waste of time, then you're a burden. If you're not spiritual, somebody's carrying you. Somebody's dragging your weight. You're a big old albatross on somebody's neck. My kids used to get in their little fun fights, you know, at home, and they'd have these little arguments, you know, or I don't know why it's so much fun to put each other down, but they had a lot of fun putting each other down and coming up with, you know, comebacks and back and forth. And Stephen, I hate to mention his name because some of you know him, you know, and they hate for me to use them as examples in my messages, but I can't help it. Stephen always was just a little bit slow with his comebacks. And so that we'd have the three girls and they're arguing back and forth with the two boys, and my little Stephen would just step right up and, you know, try to help Donnie out, my older boy, try to help him out, and Donnie would just hang his head and say, "Stephen, don't argue for me. Don't help me out, Stephen." You know something? Some of you would not help if you came downtown and wanted to just step right in and help us out witnessing. Some of you, your lives would actually be a real hindrance. Somebody might actually recognize you and say, "I know you." And you just have to hang your head and say, "Never mind." Just walk away. You know, some people's testimony is just a big old albatross around the gospel's neck. Some people's lives are just a hindrance. Some people are just a burden. And you say, "Well, if I'm a burden, I just won't come anymore. How's that?" That might be pretty good. I'm not trying to run off all your... I'm sorry if you're a visitor here. You're welcome, and we like you here, and you're not a burden at all. I don't know who I'm hurt, whose feelings I'm hurting saying the wrong thing. But listen, I'm telling you what is very clearly deduced from this verse of Scripture. This is what God is saying. He's saying, if you're not spiritual, you're a burden. Somebody is carrying you. You've heard the statement, either push, pull, or get out of the way. Why? Because if you're in the way, you're a burden. You're a problem. If you're not going to help, then you need to at least get out of the way. You're a burden. If you're not spiritual, you're dead weight. You know what I think that means? I think that means we need to become spiritual. I think that more than anything else, the church needs to become spiritual. And I think that that is now probably the number one problem in churches all over the world. And I'm not talking about the nonsense churches. I'm talking about good churches. And the number one problem in the whole world in the churches is that they aren't spiritual. I should have said we. We aren't spiritual. We're thinking worldly. We're thinking earthly. We're thinking now. We're not thinking heaven. We're not thinking God. We're thinking world. We're thinking things. And if your mind is thinking these things, you're worldly. Because he that is spiritual minds the things of the Spirit. So you say, well, what do I do? How do I become spiritual? You want an easy answer? A 1-2-3, one of these no-S diets. Just, there it is. There's the answer. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The answer is the same old thing you've been hearing every Sunday, every Wednesday. It's every single time the pastors talk to you. Every time you've blown it and made a dumb decision and gotten yourself in trouble and somebody had to rebuke you and told you, it's the same old answer. You have to read your Bible. You say, my, I never thought of that. You have to read your Bible. I'm not talking about a phrase once in a while. If you want to be spiritual, you have to fill yourself with this book. You got to get hungry for the book. You have to actually absorb it. You have to drink it in. You have to eat it. You have to understand it. You have to know it backwards and forwards. You've got to absorb the Bible like it's your very food. You might actually think that it hasn't been told you enough times. You need to read your Bibles. Have you read your Bible through at least once? Have you read it 5 times? You say, oh, I don't keep count. Come on now. If you don't keep count, you've read it so many times, you lost count? Is that what you're trying to tell me? You lost count? Seriously, consider your life. If you're not reading your Bible, you're not spiritual. It's really pretty simple. You're not reading your Bible. You know, sometimes you get tired, right? You get busy. And things start happening, and you've got to have a different kind of a schedule. And so, you know, you just lose your schedule that you had when you were spiritual. Now you're not spiritual. You say, well, I've read the Bible 10 times. I don't need to read it anymore. You're not spiritual. You're not spiritual. You've got to keep reading your Bible. Because it's food for the soul. It's food for the spirit. This is how you become spiritual, by reading your Bible. You also become spiritual by praying. You got to talk to God. I mean, you really have to set aside some time to talk to God. You say, well, yeah, I know, we know that. We know that. We do it. We do it. You don't do it enough. Are you spiritual? You're not doing it enough. What else? You say, well, I do it a little bit. Do it some more. Do it some more. You say, it can't be that simple. It is exactly that simple. That's exactly what we're talking about. You need to read your Bible and you need to pray. I remember a brother came by and said, what are you teaching these people? I said, well, we tell them, read your Bible, pray, and go to church. If you do that, you'll make it. And he said, no, you got it all wrong. He had some spiritual idea of, you know, how you needed to chant the right words, and I don't know. Let me tell you something. It doesn't get any simpler than that. You need to read your Bible, you need to pray, and you need to go to church. All right? No, but there's something else. You need to make some spiritual decisions. You need to make some spiritual decisions. You see, sometimes you just got to, by faith, say, I'm going to do this thing because it's right. I don't feel very spiritual. But you make that decision, you immediately become spiritual. You wanted an easy answer? Make some spiritual decisions. You say, Lord, I'm going to give you this. It's better not to vow than to vow and not pay, by the way. You need to make some real decisions. Real life-changing spiritual decisions in your life. I don't know what they are. I don't know you. Maybe your pastor could tell you. I don't know what they are. But I'll bet you know what they are. I'll bet you know exactly what kind of decision you need to make. You say, but I'm just a little afraid. I'm not sure I should do that. It seems to me too fanatical. I'm not sure. Let me tell you something. If you're not spiritual, you are a burden. You need to make some decisions to change that. There are some spiritual, huge spiritual needs in this world. And you're no help if you're not spiritual. You're not winning souls if you're not spiritual. You say, well, I do my little bit. Yeah, I know you do. And listen, I appreciate every little bit every single person does. I'm not trying to be unappreciative. I'm just saying you need to be spiritual. A Christian that is not aimed at being spiritual and living a spiritual life, living for God, living in a state of enthusiasm for God, is just simply not any use at all. That's not my opinion. It's what he says here. Ye which are spiritual, we need you. And you who are not spiritual, you just stay sitting down. But there's one other thing, and maybe this doesn't exactly go along with the theme of a mission conference, but I just know this is true. You need to learn how to worship Jesus Christ. You need to lose all your preconceptions. You need to learn how to worship Jesus Christ. You need to learn how to praise Him. You need to learn how to lift up your heart and thank Him. You need to be a spiritual worshiper. Because even church, you have to be spiritual. You have to learn how to worship Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't know how to praise. You ought to read the Psalms. Take some lessons from that sweet psalmist of Israel. Learn how David praised the Lord. Learn how to praise God. Listen, you have never soared in the Spirit until you've learned how to praise God. Until you've learned how to worship God, you still have not soared in the Spirit. Too many churches get all down on any kind of expression of joy or happiness. Any type of excitement or enthusiasm. They don't want to be mistaken for Pentecostals. You know, I just don't care whether anybody mistakes me for anybody else at all. I want to be spiritual. And I want to praise Jesus Christ. I want to lift up Jesus Christ. I want to bless that blessed man. I want to bless him because he's our blessed Savior and our blessed God. Let me tell you something. You've got to learn how to worship God. You're not spiritual until you've learned how to open your mouth and thank Jesus Christ. You say, wait, I can do it in my mind. No, you can't. He said it's the fruit of your lips. He said it's the fruit of your lips. Giving thanks to God. If you don't use your lips, you're not thanking Him. You're not praising Him. It's like somebody says, well, the Bible does say pray in the name of Jesus. But then when they pray, they don't mention the name of Jesus. You're not praying in the name of Jesus unless you mention the name of Jesus. You know, I really don't like all these prayers you hear on television, even by good pastors, when they just end it without saying, in the name of Jesus. When did the name of Jesus become politically incorrect? Or was that about 30 A.D., I guess, it became politically incorrect? Well, listen, we know who Jesus is. We know that that is the name above every name. We know that that's the name that needs to be lifted up and praised. That's the name that needs to be preached out on the street. It's not just God. Everybody talks about God. They just don't know His name. They don't know who He is. They don't know what He's done. Listen, we've got to lift up the name of Jesus. You need to learn how to worship Jesus. And until you learn how to worship Jesus and maybe lose a little bit of your own self-respect and self-esteem and your own face, if you're not willing to make a fool of yourself to praise Jesus, then you're not spiritual. And if you're not spiritual, you're a burden. Let me tell you something. God wants to call you. He wants to use you, and He can. He can use you. He can call you, but He won't until you are spiritual. You need to get your hearts right. You need to get your minds right. You need to start thinking spiritual thoughts. You need to start filling your mind with the spiritual things. So that God can call you, so that God can use you, so that you won't be useless, and so that you will be at rest when He comes calling. He'll be talking to you. You'll be useful because you'll be spiritual. Lord bless you.
not going to try to add anything to that. I think you got the message clear and plain. What are we going to do about it tonight? I think that's a good point. I think we know ourselves. We can judge ourselves whether we are spiritual or not. That's a sobering message. Why don't we just bow our heads right now? And what would the Lord have you do in response to that message? Do you desire to be that spiritual person? Do you want to be used of God? Do you enjoy being a drag on the church? Do you enjoy being just looked over? God using others, God working around you, God speaking to others, God calling others. If God spoke to your heart tonight, why don't you respond? You can come forward if you want to. You don't have to. But you should respond. Somewhere in your seat or here at the front, would you respond to the Lord tonight? Are your desires spiritual? How about your thoughts and your friends, your ambitions, your activities? I think we can judge ourselves. We know our lives well enough. I know we don't really know our own hearts. But we can look at our life. We can see our life well enough to know the things we love, to know the things that occupy our time, to know the things that thrill us, that get us excited. And friend, if those are worldly things and carnal things, fleshly things, then we're just grieving the Spirit of God. And we're going to be ashamed of that. Maybe not tonight. Maybe you don't feel ashamed of it tonight. Maybe it doesn't bother you tonight. But there's coming a day when there will be nothing but shame if that's the way you and I go to the judgment seat of Christ. We go to the judgment seat of Christ, carnal, fleshly, worldly. And we can't hide behind any of our excuses. Everything in the heart's going to be made manifest. Every secret thing is going to be made known. The day, the Bible says, is going to declare it. The day is going to declare it. It's going to be wide open. There's no fooling anybody then. Why wait until it's too late? You know, we preach to the lost. We tell them, don't wait until it's too late. Don't decide too late. I mean, that's good advice for a Christian too. Man, on the way up in the rapture, it's too late to change anything and get anything right with God. How about right now, tonight? Maybe this is your opportunity. If God spoke to your heart tonight, would you do something about it? Would you, if you haven't already done it? We're not going to drag this out, but if God spoke to your heart tonight, what a blessing if tonight would be the night that you make a spiritual decision. And you know the things in your life that need to be thrown overboard. Maybe it is that TV. Maybe it is the things you do with your spare time, the music you listen to, the friends you hang around with. Man, just the wrong company can destroy your life. Just worldly friends and carnal friends. Worldly programs. Will destroy your spirituality. The soap operas, Oprah. Some of you ladies need to repent of your TV watching habits. And some of you men need to unplug that computer and clean out your closet. You wonder why you don't have victory in your life. You wonder why your marriage isn't as sweet as it used to be. You wonder why God's not using you. Wonder why your prayers don't seem to get answered. Wonder why you haven't led anybody to Christ in ages. Would you make it right tonight? Maybe you have already. Praise the Lord if you have. I'm glad it doesn't take an hour and a half to get right with God. Just takes a willingness in your heart. Just call upon Him. Repent. Call upon Him and ask Him for that help. And then, like the preacher said, determine tonight that you're going to start. You're going to do those things that make a man, make a woman spiritual. Have you been faithful in reading your Bible and in praying and in being here? And just being a part of the fellowship, getting involved in the work, rolling your sleeves up and helping. I'll tell you, when there's an opportunity to do something around here, we ought to be tripping over ourselves to help. But you know the way it is many times. It's pulling teeth. It's reminding you 6 times, 7 times, 8 times. You and I have an opportunity, have many opportunities just to serve the Lord. We ought to take advantage of those things. Read our Bibles, pray, be in church, be faithful. Make some decisions tonight. What is it tonight that you need to decide you're going to change? Maybe you're here tonight too, before we go home. Maybe you're here tonight, and like the preacher said, until you are saved, you can't even begin to please the Lord. Though you may sincerely wish you could and desire to, until you're saved, you can't please Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. I wonder, is there anyone here tonight you'd say, I'm not saved. I'm not even sure what it means. I don't know if I died today that I would go to heaven. I don't really know if I know Jesus Christ as my Savior tonight. Is there anyone like that tonight? We're not going to embarrass you. But tonight, would you be honest and say, I don't know if I'm saved. I'd like to know for sure. Here's my hand. Would you pray for me? Is there anyone like that tonight? Just lift your hand up and put it right back down. Did God speak to your heart tonight? Maybe something stirred in your heart and tugged at you tonight, and you'd like to be sure that you're saved, that you're on your way to heaven. Could we pray for you tonight? Is there anyone like that tonight? Just lift your hand up. Slip your hand up and put it right back down. Is there anyone at all? Say, I know I need to be saved. I would appreciate you praying for me. Anyone at all? Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. Don't be afraid. Anyone? All right. Well, I hope you got some things right with the Lord tonight. I hope you'll take heed, and myself included. I want to take heed to that message tonight. I thank the Lord for the message and the messenger. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. I thank you so much, Lord, for the reproof to our hearts, Lord. It was gentle and it was loving and it was straight, and I thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for just the way you deal with us. And Father, I thank you for those tonight, Lord, that have made some spiritual decisions. Help us, Lord. Help us that we might not go out of this room tonight the same way we came in. If there's something wrong and it needs to be changed, and we need to repent, we need to make it right, we need to decide to do those spiritual things that we should be doing, help us. And thank you for each one tonight, Lord, that has done that. And Father, we just pray that you would bless the meetings this week and the work and the things that are going on, the ladies that are cooking, the tracks that are going out, the people that have heard the gospel today that walked past and some stopped and listened for a few minutes and some just shook their heads and laughed and walked by. But Lord, we know your word never returns to you void. It'll do something. It'll save the sinner, or one day it'll testify against him, and it'll justify you one day, Lord. So either way, it's a blessing. And we just pray that you'd get glory and honor, Lord, through all of these things. And I pray that these meetings, Lord, would produce the effect that you desire, Lord, the things that you want to see in us. Lord, I pray that you would be pleased with these things. I thank you for our church and thank you for our families. And I pray you'd help us, Lord, take a good close look at our life. Help us not to just be dead weight, have to be dragged along by others. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're just going to stand right now. We're